Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. America's opioid crisis has local, state, and federal officials scrambling. Law enforcement aims to stem the flow of cheap, often lethal drugs like fentanyl to the market. Treatment centers are prescribing Suboxone to wean addicts off of street drugs. And the overdose reversal drug Narcan has been offered free to high schools across the country. Into this messy mix of brand name drugs comes news that the DEA will ban kratom, an Asian plant with an opioid-like effect, as a Schedule I drug. That's despite research showing that kratom may be a safer alternative to prescription opioids. David Kroll covers drugs for Forbes and has been tracking the news on kratom. And David, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Pleasure to be here, Virginia.
So kratom is an herb native to Southeast Asia. Has it been sold or used here in the U.S.?
Yeah, it's been sold and used in the U.S. for at least 10 years, probably actually longer than that, and it's certainly been on the radar of scientists in the United States since the 1960s. It's also sold in bulk powders in your local herbal shop or health food shop, and then there are some companies that sell sort of little extracts, almost like caffeine energy shots. You'll see those in convenience stores.
Well, let's get to some of that research you just mentioned. In your most recent and in a previous article, you cited some research on effects on the human brain and body of kratom. So what are the findings?
So the findings really stem from some really terrific work done in a team at Columbia University led by Dolly Samish and Memorial Sloan Kettering's Sush Majumdar. And their work looked at the individual chemicals that are in kratom, two of which are those that you say are going to be placed on Schedule I by the DEA. And they've mostly done their work in mice, but as well on human opioid receptors that are produced in the laboratory. And what they found is that the main component of kratom, a chemical called mitragynine, does indeed have some effects on stimulating the opioid receptor that's responsible for mediating pain pathways. That's called the mu opioid receptor, the Greek letter mu. What it does, though, is it doesn't act like morphine or oxycodone. It only partially stimulates that receptor. So it doesn't have the same maximum effect or the same maximum risks of, you know, respiratory depression and so forth. But there's another aspect of the chemicals, and that is once they bind to the receptor, they cause a very different cascade of events inside the nerve cell. And those events seem to cause lower risk of respiratory depression, one of the major side effects of opioids, as well as cause less risk of addiction in the sense that it causes the receptor not to be turned down and require higher doses to get the same stimulant effect.
Mm-hmm, which is what keeps people chasing the high, so to speak.
Which is what keeps people chasing the high and also escalating their doses so that they need more and more to be chasing that very same effect.
So that's a scientific research, but there is a vocal community of commenters to your stories and online in kratom forums. One listener brought this to our attention. Your articles got comments saying it saved my life, it helped me kick heroin or recover from alcoholism, deal with pain of cancer treatments, eased symptoms of withdrawal from opioid addiction. So has there been real peer-reviewed study on those claims?
So, unfortunately, there have not been systematic peer-reviewed studies looking at the medical effects of kratom. Most of what's published in the literature are these kind of anecdotes, exactly as you say. Some of the best work comes from University of Massachusetts emergency room physician Ed Boyer and his collaborator Chris McCurdy down at Ole Miss, where they actually looked on those same sort of kratom discussion boards and found that one of the major reasons people were using kratom was to wean themselves off of opioids and even alcohol. And then there's a whole separate group of people who are using kratom to relieve pain, particularly chronic pain, neuropathic pain. And what's interesting about these folks is that they are using kratom instead of opioids. the prescription drugs because they can't tolerate the side effects of the opioids. Mm. So they find that kratom is a good treatment without as many side effects as the opioids.
It strikes me that people have made similar claims or reported the same about medical marijuana. Have there been any reports of harmful effects from kratom, any overdoses?
Just to back up a step, I spent 25 years in research before I became a journalist, mostly studying drugs that come from nature, both their positive and their negative effects. And what I found with kratom is there are many anecdotal reports, and I tended not to put a lot of credence in individual reports until I started getting literally hundreds of emails and direct messages and Facebook messages that had a lot of common threads in how these people were using these particular herbal products in the kratom class. Of these maybe 200 comments, I received 3 comments from people who said that either they or a family member suffered addiction to the kratom itself. And it's a small number, but it's a significant number in the sense that I think any drug that has even a modest effect on the opioid receptors is still going to have some degree of addictive potential, no matter how good a drug it is. DEA did tally 15 fatalities associated with kratom. But when pushed on this, another writer was able to get a quote from DEA that said that 14 of those 15 deaths involved other drugs besides the chemicals that are naturally occurring in kratom. And another study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that showed about 660 poison control phone calls between the 5 years 2010 to 2015. So relatively minor when we consider the large number of people that are likely using the herb.
If you're just joining us, my guest is David Kroll. He covers drugs for Forbes, and he has been tracking news on the drug kratom. At the end of August, the DEA filed notice of intent to classify kratom as a Schedule I drug, comparable to LSD, for example. That will be effective on September 30th, without, as you present it, any discussions on the efficacy of the drugs or looking at the science. It sounds like you're skeptical of the DEA's motives here. Are you?
I am. I feel that the entire body of science was not considered before this scheduling occurred. I think that the DEA was not aware of the most recent science that was, like I said, the work being done with the New York City groups really only came out in May and August. But there was already enough evidence that people were using kratom for medical benefit, even if it necessarily hadn't been proposed by a company to be a drug. There was enough evidence out there that it was being used medically. And putting something on Schedule I, one of the criteria is that it has no known medical benefit. And I would say that that's disingenuous. They also seem to consider that any use of kratom is actually abuse. And that I don't agree with either. So I found the entire notice of intent from the DEA to be quite confusing and actually, I'd say, ignorant of the science.
What does this proposed ban mean for internet sales or sales in places like North Carolina, which does not criminalize but does restrict sales of kratom to buyers over 18?
Yeah, indeed. It was very interesting here in North Carolina earlier this year. A ban was proposed on kratom, but it was really the testimony of people who were using it medically, as well as family members of people who were dependent on opioids, that really changed the minds of our state legislators to simply propose new legislation that didn't ban the herb, but restricted the sales, as you said, to people who are 18 and up. The big thing that's going to happen with this scheduling is that it essentially becomes a felony to buy, purchase, and use any substance that contains these two chemicals, one mitragynine and the second chemical, 7-hydroxymitragynine. Those are the chemicals that are actually being scheduled. But of course, powdered kratom, kratom tea, any kind of extracted kratom, these products all contain at least mitragynine, and then in some very, very small amounts, this 7-hydroxy chemical. So essentially, you're going to have to see internet sales stop. All health food stores and herbal shops are going to have to stop selling kratom, and it is going to become, you know, depending on how the DEA and local authorities want to enforce the scheduling, it certainly is a case where people who've been using this for pain, people who've been using this for dependence on other substances, are going to be without a treatment that seems to be helping them.
Or as one of the commenters on your article said, going to have to buy it on the dark net now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, thank you for speaking with us.
My pleasure, Virginia.
David Kroll, he covers drugs for Forbes, and he's been reporting on research and proposed restrictions on the herb kratom. He's going to continue to follow that story, and you'll find a link to his reporting at wordofmouthradio.org.